WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
My guest is actress Rebecca Wells. She's touring the country playing beautician Loretta Sue Endless in a one-woman show called Splitting Hairs. In the show, we first meet Loretta at Earlene's roller skating rink in Fishville, Louisiana. She's 14 years old and dreams of being a hairdresser. Loretta's dreams come true, and she goes to beauty school in New Orleans. In the final and third act, Loretta is married and the proud owner of her own salon. Rebecca Wells grew up on a farm in Louisiana in a strong storytelling family. I spoke with Rebecca Wells while she was performing Splitting Hairs in Philadelphia, and she told me about Loretta Sue Endless.
Loretta Sue Endless is a Louisiana beautician. She's from Vidalia, Louisiana, and she runs one of your finest garage beauty shops in the entire Southeast. She is a devotee of beauty. She loves doing hair. She's devoted to it. She's committed to it. And she sees the entire world through the lens of her commitment to hair.
Why did you choose Loretta's profession to be a beautician, as opposed to, say, a waitress?
I think Loretta chose it for her. I dreamed the name Loretta Endless, not at all to sound esoteric, and it took me years to realize what she did. I think that she's a beautician and that I'm interested in her being a beautician because it seems like such a mundane, overlooked profession. And yet when you really look at the word beautician, it's all about a practitioner of beauty, someone who looks at beauty. And I'm very fascinated by Loretta's utter commitment and devotion to something as so seemingly small as the world of hair. It's like the I Ching says, in very tiny things is concentrated the preponderance of the great. So the more closely that she looks at the world of hair, the more dearly and the more clearly she sees the world around her. I'm also intrigued with the idea of beauty shops, especially garage beauty shops, because it means she's an entrepreneur and that's all hers.
Beauticians are also naturally loquacious.
Well, look at that. It's such a wonderful way to bear your soul when people are working on your hair or you're working on theirs.
Are these characters, the main character of Loretta and the other characters in her life, are they drawn from characters in your own background when you grew up in Louisiana?
Not specifically. I grew up in a wonderful storytelling background in Louisiana, and I haven't lived there in many years. But I'd say that the characters are a composite of the sounds that I grew up around.
In telling those stories, actually, your performance does remind me a little bit of telling a story to children, where if you're talking about the big bad wolf and then you change into the big bad wolf, it's a little bit like that. You have to switch characters, and is it more than just, say, a gesture or a change in accent?
Yes, it's very different because it's not storytelling. It is theater. It is acting. So what it is a willingness to let those different characters inhabit you, to move from Loretta to Bubba Rowland, who comes in and says, "Earlene, you know that it is against city ordinance to let niggers skate in this rink. I do not know what to think of you, what kind of woman you think you are. I knew you was an odd kind of woman, if I can call you a woman, but I never knowed you was a nigger lover." To switch straight from him to Earlene saying, "Bubba Rowland, I let the boy run the skates. You got a bone to pick, you pick it with me." To Loretta simply saying, "Earlene, aren't you just a little scared? I mean, to run him them skates." I think it's more a willingness to empty yourself up a little bit and let those characters fill you up. And when you do that, your body changes, your whole stance changes, as well as your voice. So it's not acting like those characters. It's really being those characters for a little while.
Where did you draw the line, or did you draw a line, between character and caricature? It would be very easy for Loretta to become sort of a cardboard character instead of a full-fledged woman that we begin to really empathize with.
Absolutely. It depends on the very, very most important thing is your own motive in doing this. I think if you work from love in a character and from respect, then you realize that there is a native wisdom in those characters, a wisdom that you yourself don't have. Loretta knows things that I don't know. She's far less cerebral. She's far less neurotic. She has answers to things that I haven't even asked questions for yet. So I begin with the idea of what is her vulnerability and where does it lead her? And what kind of bravery does this character have? And I begin from those questions and try to let her own humor come out, which is usually funnier than my own. And if you ask those kinds of questions, not how can I satirically make fun of a blue-collar, redneck beautician, which has been done 50,000 times, da-da-da-da-da, who cares? But ultimately, if you ask yourself, how can this wisdom come through? Then you stop short of commenting on the character.
Mm. And that wisdom does come through. She does turn out to be fairly politically profound. I mean, she does hear this lecture about nuclear war, and she realizes that it melts hair, and hair means something to her. So therefore, this issue begins to affect her. Do you think she represents those of us who perhaps don't pay any attention to political issues until it affects us directly?
Well, she's not political in a liberal wide sense in the least. It's simply that Loretta has discovered that doing hair is what she's meant to do in life. And when she realizes that a nuclear bomb would melt out human hair, it is not because she's against Reagan. It is not because she's hip and educated and political. It's simply because she says, honey, if that bomb was to drop, I would be out of a job.
She writes a letter to President Reagan to that effect, doesn't she?
She does. She says, "Dear President and Nancy Reagan, I do not know much about politics. I was forced to take civics over twice in high school, and I still don't understand how government works. I'm a beautician. I run my own shop. Beauty has been my career for almost 15 years, and I have been my own boss ever since my husband, Lonnie, and me turned our garage into my place of business. Now, you both have lovely hair for people your age. President, yours is thick and wavy, and Nancy, while yours is a little on the thin side, it is still very well kept. I speak as a beautician when I ask you to think. What would you look like as a bald couple? One nuclear bomb would melt off all your hair and kill my husband and most of my friends. I am a professional in the field of beauty, but I do not know any cures for radiation melted off hair. And as far as I know, no one else does either. The human body is not a styrofoam wig stand, and this planet is not a Pac-Man game. I, for one, will not think that you are a 90-pound weakling if you get rid of the 20-ton bomb. I would like to go on waking up and cooking and doing hair and loving my husband. If nothing else, please think of your looks. Yours very truly, Loretta Endless."
Where has this show been seen? Has it been seen in the South by your family?
No, it hasn't. It's never been seen in the South. I've toured it throughout all the Western states, and I've toured it through New York State, now here in Philadelphia. I've toured it all over Alaska. I've toured it in Eskimo villages and little bitty logging camps and fishing areas where you have to float plane in. But I've never toured it in the South, and I look forward to that.
Do you?
Absolutely.
Do you think they might be more critical, the audiences in the South?
I think they're more critical of anything that sounds Southern, because the South has been so much maligned because it's the least homogenized part of the country. It still has the most regional identity of any other place in the world, though I don't deny the regional identity of the other nine nations of North America. But it's the least homogenized, and it has been the most maligned. Southern crackers, we couldn't take Jimmy Carter because he had an accent, the whole business. And our whole sound is so Walter Cronkite'd out that the minute we hear dialect, we think mindless. So, of course, the South is much more sensitive to the idea of having someone do Southern. And I'm much more interested in a line of Flannery O'Connor looking at the wisdom of these backwards prophets than I am in turning another shake and bake commercial into something for the rest of the nation to just laugh at. You know, that really gets on my nerves. So, yes, they'd probably be overly sensitive, and I don't blame them.
Is there more that we could hear or see about Loretta? I feel as though there should be another chapter of Loretta's life, like maybe when she's about 60 years old and about to retire.
Well, Loretta, it just goes on all the time. I do public radio commentary in Seattle through the voice of Loretta Endless. I do it from the road and also from in town, and Loretta has so many things to talk about. And her story keeps unfolding, and I always get letters from people who say, "Is Loretta going to have a baby?" And I got a letter from one woman who said, What if Loretta were in a bad car accident? You know, so I think that her life continues and that I look forward to writing more adventures for her, both for the stage and the page.
Rebecca Wells, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Actress Rebecca Wells is touring the country in her one-woman show called Splitting Hairs.